as we just remain in worship and we just declare to Jesus who He is in our lives, that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and just bring our hearts before Him. So I just sense there are people here who are very broken and lonely, and you've come to a place where you just don't know how to continue, and you've been taking knocks. And I really believe God is just reaching out His hand to you, and He wants to touch you and restore you and bless you. If there are anyone with a word or a picture, as we just remain focusing on Jesus and ask Him, God, what is on your heart this morning? Ask the Lord. God wants to speak to all of us. Just focus on Jesus now. Focus on the Lord and invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister to you.
Now when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals. For You were slain, and You have redeemed us to God by Your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth."
I just want to add to what Theo was saying about people taking shots and taking knocks. And as my husband testified earlier, that's where we were a couple of weeks back. We were taking shots and we were getting knocked about. Two toddlers and a pregnancy. It's a rough time. And a couple of weeks back, Fred was preaching and he said, "We need a yoke with Christ." And I remember sitting in that service and feeling like, "I can't do this, Lord. And I don't even know how. I don't know where to start. I just don't even understand how to do this." And he did an altar call and he said, "If you don't know how to come into a covenant with Christ, just come." And the Lord's just been so faithful. He's been so faithful to us. Our routine is just a tool. It's not the answer. It's a tool that God gave us. It's part of the wisdom that He's given us to make things work in our house. And in the structure that He's brought in our house, we now have the freedom to have abundant life, to have a blessed life. We have the freedom to be grateful to God for all the amazing gifts He's given us, because we are able to see it in the order that He has brought. And I just want to bring God the glory for that. And I just want to say thank You that He gives us wisdom when we don't know where to go forward. And when we're taking shots in life, just say to God, I can't do this on my own. And I don't know how to yoke with You. I don't even know what that means. But it's amazing how when you say that, how He picks it up and He leads you. Even in, as Donnie said, such a practical thing. He's given us keys and He's really pulling the yoke. He's made our burdens light. So I just want to give God the glory for that. And I want to encourage you, if you're taking shots, give it to God. He's going to carry it for you.
Yeah, I just want to confirm that word. God gave me a picture of green fields, of fields with this rest. And I just feel that we should all ask the Lord, how do we enter that rest? And how does the rest look like for each of us? How does this field look like? And how do we enter it? Only He knows.
After Donnie spoke, the words, the young olive shoots, stuck to my mind. And I just like to pray for all the olive shoots running around here in our church. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for these young children in our congregation. Everyone here and over there in the staff room, God, these young olive shoots. And we pray, Lord, that these young trees, oh God, will be planted next to the river of living water, oh God. And we pray, Lord, for each one of them, that they will grow strong, that their roots will go far and deep and drink from that living water, oh Lord God. And we pray, God, that those trees coming from this congregation, they will grow strong. They will be huge trees, oh Lord, with strong branches. They will bear fruit in season and even out of season. And I pray, God, for us as parents, help us, O Lord, to teach our children. Help us so that they will be planted in the house of the Lord, O Lord God. Thank You, Lord. Amen.
I just got Psalm 63 earlier this week, verse 5-7. "Because Your love is better than life, my lips will glorify You. I will praise You as long as I live, and in Your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise You." And I just got this revelation that as we lift up our hands, Jesus satisfies us completely. And I just have this thing on my heart this morning that he wants to satisfy the deepest, deepest desires of your heart. He wants to be your 100% full satisfaction, because he invites us, whoever's thirsty, whoever's hungry, he completely satisfies and he fills us completely.
I just want to pray for us. Our Father, we just come before you, Lord God, this morning, and we consecrate ourselves, Lord, to you. We consecrate, God, this building to you, Lord God. We consecrate every person here, Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord, that, God, what we do will bring glory to your name, Lord God. Lord, our heart is not to be exalted in this place, Lord, but it's that you be exalted in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we just pray, Lord, and we thank you for your presence in this place, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that those words that you've given us to us, Lord, this morning, that every person who is in a dark place can know and look out and see the light of Christ and to know that there is hope in Christ and that you are a wonderful God that changes lives, Lord. And we honor you and we worship you this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you a little bit on what I believe God is speaking to me specifically about on the Holy Spirit. And what happened with us, we, like many of you, have these requests that we pray to the Lord. And my wife has been giving these extra requests to the Lord. And for me, those are things that is probably not, for me, not that important. If I can see people's lives change and people getting saved, then I'm very excited. But there are things in the household that is important, especially to the wives. And we were in a church, I think it was this Monday, or it was the Monday before, when a man and his wife came into the office, and they said, "Who is the pastor's wife?" And Lynette was like thrown. And they gave her this envelope, and when she touched it, she started crying. And then this man started talking to us about God, about the Holy Spirit, and when he started speaking, I started crying. He got filled with the Holy Spirit in 1966, and he was telling us how it happened as if it happened the day before. It was such a powerful testimony of what God has done in his life in 1966. Now, this is not against any church. We bless all churches, but just his testimony as how he was seeing it, which he knows, and he was saying it tongue in the cheek because it's wrong in his mind, but this is how his mind was thinking about it. He said he was in the Methodist church, and he started going to these churches where the people were praying in tongues, and he was saying for him, he thought the Methodist church was there, and then the Baptist, they were there, and then there was these guys that prayed in the tongues. They must be super holy. And he was just so hungry for what they had. So he went to this church, and he could experience the presence of God there. He heard how they were speaking in tongues, and he was so hungry for that. And he said to them, "Why don't you want to share this thing that you have with other people?" And then eventually they said, "Okay, we'll do a sermon series on that." So he brought all his friends from the Methodist church to that. But now they were very afraid. "God, if this is from you, we are not sure, what are you going to do? What is going to happen here?" So they preach on what the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, and what his gifts is all about. And apparently in 1966, a revival broke out worldwide. And there's some people who are nodding. They've probably been part of it. And many churches got revived. People got touched by the Holy Spirit. He's saying they were sitting in a place where it came like a wave. And I've heard it of a Methodist minister as well that shared with me how it happened, where they were sitting, all Methodist ministers together, and they were sitting in the back, and the Spirit of God came over them, and people started falling on the ground, crying, and just starting worshiping God. And he said, "No, this can't be. And the next moment, this wave came over him, and he was just on the floor crying, and God just came to touch him. Very powerful move of what God was doing. So many people in this revival resisted what God was doing. So charismatic churches like ours started coming to the place because people experienced this gift of the Holy Spirit, but they couldn't live it out in their church. So a little bit of a rebellion actually started because of that. But in Matthew 3 verse 11, John the Baptist says, "I will baptize you with water for repentance, but he who comes after me, who is mightier than me, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I've prayed this so many times and prayed, God, let your fire come. And I'll share with you now as well that I was a little bit wrong in my interpretation here, because the fire of God, yes, it is the power of God, but there's a different fire of being baptized in fire that I'm just going to share about quite a bit as well, where I feel we as a church are at. But that Jesus will come and he will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, I want to take you back to Acts 2, verse 38. Peter, the disciple who denied Christ three times, he runs away. He thinks Jesus has died. Everything that he believed was not from God. He goes and fish. Then Jesus appears to him. He makes a fire. He put fish on the fire. And he says to Peter to come. Peter comes and he says to him, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me like God loves you, agape love? And he says, God, you know I only love you like a brother, filio love you. And he asks him the second time, and the third time he says, do you love me like a brother, Peter? And he cried, he says, God, you know I only love you like a brother. Peter didn't even love Jesus the way he should have loved him, yet he chose to use him and he restored him. And then he says to all the disciples, go and wait for me in the upper room. 50 days after Jesus got resurrected, they were standing in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind. The power of God came upon them. Fire came upon their heads as the Spirit of God came upon them. And they were speaking in tongues. They were praying in tongues. And 1 Corinthians 13 says that even if you pray in tongues of men and of angels, but you have no love, it means nothing. But the fact is, if you pray in tongues, other tongues, and of angels, that people were praying in other tongues. And as these people were filled by the Holy Spirit, they started speaking in tongues, of which many people in Jerusalem from various parts of the world could understand what they were saying. They've never heard this tongue before. I can't remember who told the story. It was a DVD that we watched. But he was ministering to people in a country where he didn't understand what they were saying. They ministered the whole time in this person's language. The next day that person came back and he said, but yesterday you spoke my language fluently. Now you don't speak it. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, that God sometimes do these things. In Shofar and Stellenbosch, there was a lady, she understood perfect French. She spoke French, and the lady in front of her was just singing in her tongue, and she said this lady was speaking in perfect French, talking about the mysteries of God. So there's something supernatural that the Holy Spirit wants to do in life. So when the Holy Spirit came there, they said, these people are drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. And Peter, who denied Christ, stood up and he started preaching. When he preached, all the people who were there were touched to the heart. They were cut to the heart, the Bible said. And they said, what must we do? And now Peter says, we must repent. We must turn to God. We can't live in the world. We must turn for God. Come to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And we did an encounter one some time ago. And the one person said, that after we've explained how the baptism works, he says, now I must just hear a word of God first. When he hears God speaking to him, then he's going to get himself baptized. And I just want to say to you, here's your word. It's in the Bible. That if you don't are prepared to listen to what the Bible is, don't expect God to come and do a supernatural work, because he's already given it to us in the Bible. But then he says, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when I heard what this man was saying, I realized that we are very shy about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we invite friends to come here, we don't want anyone to speak in tongues because it might offend them. So we're very cautious of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we can't do this because we don't want that person to offend it. And I was wondering about that. And no, it's for the privacy of your home. It's not for everyone, which is true. And then, but I thought about it, and then God really gave me the answer. The Holy Spirit is the seal of the new covenant. God has given us the Spirit of God as the seal of the new covenant. It's like a ring that He's giving to us. And if I take my ring when there's pretty girls in the room and I hide it, how would my wife not feel? Because it's the seal of our marriage. So when God comes and he gives us a gift and we hide it, how is he not feeling about it? Because 1 Corinthians 14 says, speaking in tongues was given as a sign for the unbelievers, not for the believers, but for the unbelievers, that when we speak in tongues, they go, "Waar kom dit vandaan? Where did they get this from?" And we can explain, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's something that happens when we pray in the Spirit. Our spirit gets edified. Prophecy is to edify the believers. And having someone like Anita here last week, we had lunch with her, and she just started speaking into my life. I'm like, how do you know all these things? It's unbelievable how God's gift can manifest through one person. Yes, there's a few things that's a little bit, okay, where did you get that from? But it was such a blessing to receive words that you know someone could not have known. Because I know this lady was speaking through the gift of prophecy that God has given her. So this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is not something mediocre. If God gives us a gift, it must change the world. Because God has given us this gift. And this is where I am frustrated. I don't know if you were here, but I am that lion in the cage. Because I know there's more, and God has given it already. He's poured out His Spirit upon all of us 2,000 years ago. He said, it is finished. He has paid the prices already. There's a gift that God has given to us. John 14, verse 12 says, whoever believes in me, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that He got raised, that He ascended into heaven? Do you believe this with all your heart? If you believe this, He said, we will also do the works that He do, and we will do greater works than these, because He's going to the Father. Because we believe, we will do greater works than what Jesus has done. That is a massive statement. Greater works than what He has done, because He walked on water. He turned water into wine. I love that. I think that's amazing that He turned water into wine. Blind could see. The deaf could hear. People with leprosy were cleansed. The dead were prayed for and they got healed. Anita told me about a man in Mexico. He has prayed for 600 people who've died and now come to life. Now in this time, diamonds fell out of the air. And He takes the diamonds and He sells them and He feeds the poor. He feeds people. He helps businesses getting going. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about something more than what we're experiencing. Just having a word here and it's maybe for one person. I'm talking about a supernatural move of what God wants to do. And Jesus said, we will do this because He is going to the Father. Acts 10 says, verse 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by demons, for God was with Him. Jesus didn't heal some, He healed everybody. He did good to many, many people. And you've known all the scriptures, but He was anointed by the Holy Spirit and with power. And this is the gift that I believe God has given the church. And He's given us this as a ring around our finger that we can know and the world can know that there's power in worshiping God. 1 Corinthians 2 says, my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That God's message was not only the words that He spoke, but it was a demonstration of God's Spirit and of power. Powerful things happened when they spoke. They would walk past people, and as they laid there, they got healed. As He just walked past them. People who died, they prayed for, not Jesus, I'm talking about Paul, I'm talking about Peter, they prayed for people and they got saved. Many people got healed, many people got set free from demons. And then He says, my message doesn't come to you in words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And then verse 5, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That we believe because we've seen the works. We've seen what God has done. We've seen how it has changed. When you've been filled with the Spirit of God, your life changes completely. You cannot be the same anymore. You cannot be the same as your friends in the world can't say you are exactly the same person. Your life has changed because God's Spirit is this power in His Spirit. Life's changed, but there's more than that as well. And what frustrates me is that we pray and pray and pray and people get sick and people die and people don't have breakthrough, and there's so many things that is not happening. Yet Jesus said, we will ask for more. Oh, we will do more because we believe. We will do more because we believe. This power was visible. There was a guy, Simon the sorcerer. He was into the occult. He saw the power. When they laid hands, the disciples laid hands on them, they could see the transference of the power that went into him. And he said, I'm willing to pay you money. I want that as well. I want that power. There was a transference of power that happened. And I'm seeing and I'm believing this is what God is laying on my heart to seek Him for. Not the gifts, but the giver. In seeking Him, the gifts will come. When we were in Sri Lanka last year, we went to different homes the one day, and we would go from home to home, and we had interpreters with us. So you can't talk the wisdom of men. You can only trust God for the demonstration of power. And there was this one home that the children, they were about 20, 30 years old, they got saved. The little children were seeking the Lord, but the old omas, both of them living in the same home, they weren't seeking God. So we just asked them what their need are. They can't walk. So we asked if we can pray for their legs, asked them to stand up, and now they walk. And the more they walk, the more you can see they walk comfortably. And now we say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Now the other lady, and the same, she couldn't walk either. So we pray for her. And now you start praying, and God is really changing lives. We go to another house. Now our faith is bold, and we ask, what is your need? So now we can pray for anything. And we pray and we see God moving very powerfully in these homes. And then we go to a Roman Catholic house, and they have the pictures of Jesus on the cross and the baby in the manger, and we feel resistance. It's funny, you feel this resistance. In the Hindu homes, you don't feel the resistance, but in the Roman Catholic, because they serve Jesus, we serve Jesus, we pray and no breakthrough comes. Nothing happens. And I'm thinking to myself, and when we go to missions, people say it's because we go to other countries. But what I experience there is what I actually experience here as well. It's religious. There's a form of godliness. And I just want to share the scripture with you. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. It talks about the end times. Then verse 2 says, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant. And it continues like that. They will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, and avoid such people. This crazy thing is, I'm part of that. I'm part of this. I have a form of godliness, but we deny the power. We don't walk in the fullness of what God is. We love the world so much. There's an aspect of the things of the world that draws us. We want to go and watch the movies, and we want to drink the beers and go and play pool with the friends. There are things that we want to do. So we deny the power of God. And this is where I believe for us as the Western church, we're not seeing miracles because of what I saw there in Sri Lanka. There's an aspect, appearance of godliness, but we are denying the power. Jesus was talking to people in Matthew 22, verse 29, and he was saying, you're holding onto your traditions, and therefore you're denying me. It says, you are wrong because you neither know the scriptures nor the power of God. There was a form of godliness that held on to traditions, but they didn't experience the power of God. They didn't see breakthroughs in their lives. And I believe this is something that we must trust God to be restored in our lives. And maybe many of you are here and you've seen pictures and you've heard stories of where there's an outpouring or a revival that happened, and people do crazy things, like they bark like dogs and they make noises like baboons. And how I interpret this, this is just my interpretation, but I think, for example, there was this outpouring where this happened. I believe when an outpouring happens, it is from the Lord. But then people are so hungry for this that they seek the gifts and they're not seeking the giver. And there's not a purity of heart, and it opens them up for the demonic to manifest through their lives. Have you heard of the Quakers? in America. I don't know if you've heard of the Quakers. But these were people who were filled with the Spirit of God. Powerful things happened through their lives. But as tradition continued, they would come into worship and they would sing songs and then they would do this. Because they saw how it happened with their fathers. Now they thought that is how it should be. It wasn't God touching them. They started doing that. And that's why they started calling them Quakers. They had a form of godliness, but they were denying the power of God. There was not a hunger in their hearts for that. So I want to bring you back to Matthew 3, where it says, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that fire, I always believe, it's like the power of God that comes upon us. And then some people disagreed with me and I ignored them and now I hear what they're saying. But when you read before that in Matthew 3 verse 7 to 9, it says that the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to John the Baptist to his baptism and he rebukes them. He says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from what is to come? And then he says, you must bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And then he says, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we are Abram's children, we are Christians, for I tell you that God is able to raise children from even the stones. And then he says, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So if you're not bearing fruit, the tree is cut down and thrown into the fire. But I have come to baptize in water. And someone mightier than me will come and he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. So what is he saying? He's saying that God wants purity of heart. He wants holiness. Because the power of God without holiness of heart will bring a lot of disorder. It will bring a lot of destruction. And someone gave me a word recently as well about fire. And he said to me, fire contained in an oven is very powerful. But fire outside brings destruction. It will destroy the house. And I believe when Donnie said to me, he wanted to share this offering, I knew this is what God is saying to me. Because the power of God in outside controlled environment can destroy the house. It can burn down everything. So there's something I believe that God is doing in our hearts. He's taking us through the fire. Now, if you know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they worshiped God with Daniel. And then they came to a point where they got promoted. And then the devil came against them. And he influenced Nebuchadnezzar, I believe. And Nebuchadnezzar brought out a decree that everyone must worship me. And if you hear the song and the music, then you must worship this idol that I've put up there. But these three guys wouldn't do it. And the king got very upset with him. And he brought them before him. And he said to him, if you're not going to worship me, you're going to be destroyed in the fire. And they said, oh, good king. We can only worship God. We cannot worship you. Our God is able to protect us. But even if we have to go into the fire, we'll go into the fire. And they got bound with ropes, I presume. And they got thrown into the fire. And the fire was made so hot that the men throwing them into the fire died. And what I'm seeing from this is that people could die where the power of God is. And these men weren't not taken into the fire. It wasn't they were exempted from the fire, they had to go into the fire against their will. It wasn't like they were saying, okay, I'll go into the fire willingly. They were thrown into the fire. They had no control over themselves. They were taken into the fire. And I believe many of us are there. We are pushed into the fire. You don't want to be there. Everything inside you say, I don't want to go into this fire. I don't want to die. I don't want to go. And you get pushed into the fire and you see destruction all around you and you're like, when is it going to be the end? Because as I see it, everything is going to be destroyed. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, didn't we put in three men in there? I see a fourth man and he has the appearance of the gods with him and they're walking around free and in the fire, whatever they were bound with got destroyed, but their hair didn't even burn. Their clothes didn't even smell of smoke. And Nebuchadnezzar came and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, are you okay? Can you come out? And they came out. And Nebuchadnezzar made a decree that said that this God that we serve is the only God. And he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I believe for us, we will not be able to be promoted if we're not going to go into the fire, even if it's against our will. there will come times when we go through tough times and we don't understand why, but we get thrown into this fire. And now we have to stand in faith. Say, Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you. Now you have to believe that God sees who we say he is as we go into the fire. Because that is the place where we get rid of the bondage in our lives. The same with Daniel. Daniel didn't want to go with that lions, but he got thrown in there. It wasn't prevented from him. He had to go in with the lions. He stayed there the whole night, and the next morning, King Darius came and he said to him, Daniel, did your God whom you serve continually, did he save you? He said, yes. Daniel came out. Those men were thrown into the lion then and destroyed immediately because the power of God was present. God's power, God's presence is there, and God's presence changes lives. And then he made a decree that the God of Daniel is the God that we serve. And the third thing that I believe God is showing me at this time is just Jesus in Gethsemane. Before he had to be crucified, it says his soul was very sorrowful, even to death. Jesus' soul was sorrowful. And he said to the people, please stay here and pray with me. And they fell asleep. And I can identify with that. Where I just feel we must pray. And it feels like people are sleeping, but we must pray. I believe God is speaking to us at this time that we must pray. And Jesus prayed and said, my Father, if it's your will, let this cup be passed me, but not my will, let your will be done. But he had to go through it. He was in pain. He couldn't not go in. He didn't have a choice. But in his going into that pain, something glorious happened after that. The promotion for all of us came because of that. There's a song that I wanted to play, but I'm not going to. Brian Dirksen's The Refiner's Fire. And he wrote this song on this scripture, Malachi 3, verse 1 to 4. And it talks about the prophecy about John the Baptist, that I will send my messenger, he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord. And then he says, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Fuller's soap is a soap they use to clean something very, very white. And the refiner's fire, he continues, says, he will sit as the refiner and the purifier of silver. A refiner's fire is so hot that it refines silver and gold. And he will purify the sons of Levi. The sons of Levi were the priests. We are the priests. We are the priests of the new covenant. That God comes and he takes us through the fire. That we can be purified and refine them. So we get refined like gold and like silver. And then they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then what we bring to the Lord will be in righteousness to God. It will bring glory to who God is. And then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem, I believe this is for the church as well, will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in the former years. Because we come to God and we raise hands, but it's not holy hands. And we praise and we sing and we swear and we do funny things. But we come as, and we believe we are holy before God. And yes, we are made holy. We are declared justified. But there's things in our hearts that shouldn't be there. Then we go through the refiner's fire and we become holy before God because he cleanses us. Because in that time we go, Yere, help. That's the prayer that I prayed probably the most in the last 4 years is Yere, help. I pray that quite a lot. Yere, help. But Jesus in Hebrew says, Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. 1 Peter says, verse 1 says, in this rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ. So what it says is, rejoice in this. As you're going through various trials, your faith is being tested. And this faith that will be produced because of this will be more precious than gold. And this will bring glory to who God is. Then in 1 Peter 5 verse 10, you can just look it up yourself. But 1 Peter 5 verse 10 says, you have suffered for a little while, but Jesus himself will come and he will restore you. He will edify you. He will build you and he will exhort you. Jesus himself will come to do it in your life. 2 Chronicles 5 talks about Solomon building the temple for God. They were praying, they were worshiping God. But then there came a place where the priest that was presented consecrated themselves to the Lord without regard to their divisions. They were consecrating themselves. They were going through the fire. They were being cleansed by God so that what they were bringing before the Lord was pure. So that's why they consecrated themselves. But they had no regard to their divisions. I'm a cell leader, I'm a pastor, I'm a apostle, I'm a whatever we are. They had no regard for that. They just wanted to be pure before God. They just needed, they were seeking who God was. And then they came together as it was the duty of the trumpeters and the singers, and they came and they brought worship and songs before the Lord, and they were heard in unison. And because we're going through the fire, we're going through tough times, something in our hearts changes. And our hearts is not for our own needs anymore. It's for the needs of one another together as family. We come together as one. And there's something in our hearts that burns for Jesus and it's burned for one another. We want to be in unity. And in that unity, they were bringing praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And they were singing all these songs to the Lord. And then the next verse, verse 4, says that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. The presence, the powerful presence of God came upon that temple that they couldn't move. And now it's not the things that the people were saying anymore. It was the presence of God. And what I really believe is happening at the moment, and when I spoke to that man, I said to him, when is it going to happen again? He said to me, Theo, it's going to happen anytime. So why do you say so? He said to me, because when it was poured out in 1966, it was exactly, the atmosphere was exactly as it is now. And I said to him, so when is it going to be poured out? And he said, it's going to be soon. I said, why do you say so? And he said to me, because the atmosphere was the same, it's now the same as it was then when God poured out his spirit over all the people. I said, so when is it going to be? And he shared the same with me again. But there's an expectancy that I hope I can transfer in your hearts to be hungry for the presence of God, for the anointing of God. Not the gifts, not the healings and the power and all those things, but for God to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Where God is, people get set free. People get healed. And, you know, maybe you are going through the refiner's fire and you're not sure when this is going to stop. I just want to encourage you to close your eyes and just to call upon the name of the Lord. I can't tell you if you call out to Jesus, your fire will stop. But I can know that your bondage will get taken away. And the product that will come out of that will be glorious to the Lord. That as we're taking strain, and I know many people are taking tremendous strain at this time, and we want to pray with you and we want to encourage you. But this is an encouragement that we sometimes come to men, but we must learn to go to God. That when we are sick or a family member is sick, that we don't create the WhatsApp groups, please pray with me. The first thing we do is just go to God. Lord, you gave me these promises. Not that I'm against WhatsApp groups. We must pray for one another. If you're taking strain, yes, do the WhatsApp group. But the first thing is, says God, what must I do? If God then says, create a WhatsApp group, then be obedient to what God is saying. There was a revival in the Hebrides Islands, close to Scotland. And there was these two old ladies. The one was deaf and the other one was blind. And they prayed together, but they knew God's voice. And they heard God saying to them, they must ask, I think his name was Duncan. But this reverend, they telexed him and said he must come for a revival series to the islands. And he said, no, he's very busy for the next months. And these ladies said, telex him again. He has not heard from God yet. 8 days later, this man came by the boat. And they started praying together. They were seeking God together. And the first night they did the outreach and nothing happened. So the people said, we must pray. And one man stood up and he said, God, you've given me a promise. I ask you to uphold your promise you've given me. And then everything started shaking, literally. The houses started shaking like this. The cutlery started falling off. And then there was a knock on the door and they opened the door and more than 300 people that weren't bars came to this house and said, we need Jesus. I'm talking about the power of God. And are we hungry for that? You've probably heard of Andrew Murray, the revival of 1860, where people have been praying. He's been praying all his life. His father was a dominie as well. He's been praying all of his life. When the Holy Spirit got poured out, a little girl, a slave girl, stood up and she said, oh, Jesus, how I long for you. And then a sound like a mighty rushing wind came. And people fell on the ground. They started speaking in tongues and prophesying and crying. And Andrew Murray came running in and he said, stop this, stop this, stop, stop this, stop. And there was a man that came from America that was part of the Azusa revival. And he said, you must not stop this. This is a move from God. And then he repented. Apparently people were in the field and they got touched by God and they came to God. They repented. Lives changed. And this revival, the whole of the Western Cape, even places in Gauteng, Transvaal then, got radically changed because of people for a hunger for God. We had a hunger for the presence of God. So if we can maybe just stand, and I just want to ask us to come into worship and just as a song to the Lord, that we just bring our hearts before God. God, I just want to repent, Lord God, that we have been seeking you for the signs and the wonders, Lord, and not because of who you are, Lord. But Lord, we are so hungry for you, Lord. We are so hungry for you, Jesus. Oh God, we pray, Lord God, for more of you in our lives, Lord. And God, as we are in the refiner's fire, Lord, we just pray to be with us in this fire at this time, Lord. And we put our faith in you, Jesus. Our hope and our trust is in you, Lord. And God, let your kingdom come in our lives, Lord God. As it is in heaven, let it come in our lives, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, we bless you, Lord. We pray, Lord God, for every person here, especially for those who are taking strain, Lord, that right now, God, you will just come and meet with them and touch them, Lord, because your kingdom is not in words, but it's in the power of God, Lord. And Father, we pray now, Lord God, as we come before you, Lord, for your presence in this place, Lord God. We are so hungry for your presence. In the name of Jesus. I just sense that there are some people who are very emotional and you want to cry and you need, I just want to encourage you to come forward that we can pray with you. If you really need just a touch from the Lord, you are broken and you need to know that God loves you, that God is there for you, that God will himself, Jesus will himself come to exhort you, to edify you, to restore you, and you need Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then and you know you want to turn to him, I just want to encourage you to come forward that we can pray. So we're just going to focus on the Lord so that the people who want to just come into the presence of the Lord can just continue to press in, to just really press in, to come to that place where we can just open our hearts and meet with Jesus.